Carla Gover and friends plant to seed, write a song. And write to song is what one of the players you're about to hear did. Peter Atwood composed what you are about to hear. We're going to talk with all of the players. Peter Atwood, who is in 10th grade. Daniel Davies, who is a senior, Clay Raff, a junior, as well as Charlotte Houghton, a junior, all at Mount Lebanon High School. But first, they are going to play Peter's award-winning composition. Here they are. Bravo. We are going to give you a chance in just a few moments to meet each of the four players as well as the one who is the composer of what you just heard. Four French horns playing together, and the students will join us in just a moment. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed what you just heard. And the players comprising that quartet are all in the studio with me right now. And I think what we'll do is have them each introduce themselves to you, maybe indicate what grade you're in or your age. And if you have any shout outs or thank yous, perfect time to do it. If you don't, that's fine too. And we're just going to go from right to left. And that means we'll start with Charlotte.
I'm Charlotte. I'm in 11th grade. And shout out to my grandma, who's my teacher, and my mom and dad.
How nice. Your grandmother plays French horn?
Yeah.
That is great. I know your mom is here somewhere, I think. Did she come today?
Yep.
My name is Daniel Davies. I am a senior, and I'd like to shout out Ron Laverty, my horn instructor. Yeah.
Excellent. And Daniel's dad is here, too.
Hi, my name is Peter. I am in 10th grade, and I would like to shout out all of us in the ensemble, especially Charlotte, because she helped make the original recording that I submitted to get the award, which was really nice. And also just all the members of the Mount Lebanon Band Program, especially the director, for letting us play it at the concert as well.
And a shout out to your mom, who's
yes.
here today. And then finally.
My name is Clay. I am in 11th grade. And shout out to Peter Atwood, because the piece he composed is pretty sick.
And Peter, I'm very curious to learn how this came about, what prompted you to compose this piece at 15 in the 10th grade. That's not an accomplishment many people do. Take us through how it came to be.
Well, last year, Clay and the other members of the section came up to me and they were like, hey, at the Small Ensembles concert, we were going to do a horn quartet. If you could make something for us, that would be really nice. And the reason that that happened is because we were also playing a song that I made at the regular concert, which was really cool. And yes, so that basically just prompted me the idea to make a sort of quick, high energy piece that also has a lot of like transition from minor to major key as well. So that's kind of the sort of.
I can't imagine how you go about writing for the French horn, let alone for the quartet. Is there a way you can kind of help us get inside your head for how you go about it?
Well, it's sort of like the instrument I kind of know how to write for French horn because I actually play the instrument. So that's helpful. You know, it's nice to think about sort of I hear like what it's going to be in my head before writing it down. I also like to work on a keyboard and like try it out, the different things that I write before actually putting them on the notation.
So you can get a sense of melody
yeah.
by using a keyboard. And then do you end up writing the lead first, I would imagine, and then you need to figure out how the other horns are going to work in?
Well, usually what I actually do is I write sort of like 8 bars at once and then kind of do all of the different parts for those 8 bars and then go on to the next short section.
Do you end up getting feedback from fellow musicians as you go through this, or is it when you're done, you're done?
Usually I am done, but I'm always happy to make small changes whenever they need to. But for at least the beginning of the writing process, I usually just do it by myself.
And you're probably, I would imagine, very good at knowing what is playable. Not necessarily what is easy, but what is playable.
At least for the horn, yeah.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me. I did not get a chance. Your performance was in the Youth Media Center rather than in the room I'm in. So I didn't get a good look at the instruments. Are you all playing the same style of horn, or was there some variation?
Yeah, we're all playing the French horn.
Okay, so and they're all just your standard French horn as people would picture them. Excellent. Does anybody have any comments about Peter's work and what it's like to play something written by a classmate?
Like you said, it's really exciting all the time. It's very fun to play. And there's no part that's ever boring to it. It's like playing John Williams, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's exciting. Listening in here, I could hear the changes. I felt like I was in motion as I was listening to it. It looked like you were about to add something, Clay.
I just wanted to note that when we are rehearsing this, it's really cool whenever we have questions about how we want the intonation or the dynamics to be, we can go directly to the source who composed it, which is really cool because usually you have to figure things out and decide for yourself, but we can go directly to the composer to know what he wanted it to sound like.
That's a great observation. It's not like, hey, Wolfgang Mozart, what did you mean when you were doing this? You can't do that. Daniel, did you have anything to add?
What I feel like Peter's pieces do super well is he really prioritizes making every part like super fun to play and giving it its moment to shine. So like I was the horn free player. It's in parts of four. I was the one who got a melody in this like second bit. I know Clay, our horn one, was featured very prominently. So was Char and obviously Peter himself. Peter does a really good job making sure the piece is very well balanced into making sure everyone gets something fun to do. And I think it just makes the piece more fun to play as a horn player myself. And it still sounds great because Peter's a fantastic composer.
You had mentioned at Mount Lebanon High School, there's an evening that features ensembles as well as the full orchestra. Is that, did I catch that correctly?
So at the... So there's the winter concert for the band. I think actually the band and the orchestra and they all have winter concerts. And then a month later, there's the small ensembles concert where we have each of the different sections of the band and we each perform a little piece that's just like all of one instrument.
That's cool. So this is your contribution to that. I know, excuse me, the drummers, there's a percussion night, I think that happens, but that's probably, I don't know if it's that same night or a separate show is part of that. But it's really got to be fun to play this in front of an audience. Do you plan on, or have you been invited to play it elsewhere?
Well, we have been, so at the PMEA, Pennsylvania Music Educators Association, I think that's what it stands for. We submitted it to that for the composition contest, and I was lucky enough to actually win. And so we did make a recording to be played there at the convention, which was pretty cool. And there might have been another time as well. Do you guys remember if there
was
another time?
Played for one of the elementary school's concerts.
Oh, so yeah.
Encourage the elementary schoolers to continue. So we just played at the front of that.
Yeah, okay, I remember now.
That's great. Trying to get additional musicians and especially French horn players. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're just joining us, we have four high school students from Mount Lebanon High School here in the Pittsburgh area. They just completed playing an original French horn composition written by one of them, Peter Atwood, that did win a Pennsylvania Music Educators Association Award. What's the name of it, by the way, the name of the piece?
Aeolus. Should I talk about why?
Please, yeah.
Okay, so when I wrote so Aeolus is written is basically for two reasons. One of them is like a theme reason and one of them is a music theory reason. So the theme reason is Aeolus is, I think, one of the Greek gods of wind. He's one of them. There's like a couple. But yeah, I was really sort of trying to invoke like motion and really sort of high energy, like sort of windy stuff when I was writing it. That's sort of how I felt about it. As well as the piece transitions, it's kind of modal in that it goes from the Aeolian mode, also known as the natural minor scale, to the Dorian mode, and then which is kind of in between, and then to the Ionian or major scale. So it's kind of a transition from minor to major, which I thought was, yeah. So that's another reason.
I'm glad you explained that. I didn't pick up either of those aspects of it. But as I mentioned before to Charlotte, I immediately felt motion as you were playing. It really comes through on the piece. I'm curious. I was always told, at least when I was in high school, that French horn is not the easiest instrument to master. I mean, you need talent for any of them. But did you all find French horn to be challenging as you were learning? I see Daniel nodding his head immediately.
Yeah. So this is coming from someone myself who plays a lot of brass instruments. So something that brass instruments have is partials, or like the distance in between notes on the instrument. With French horn, those partials are very close together, which makes it very hard to be accurate when you're trying to hit a certain pitch.
So if you're looking at half steps between notes, for example, it is really hard to get it precise.
It's yeah.
Really high.
Anybody want to add anything to that?
I'm trying to play horn professionally because my dad does, so I'm trying to follow in his footsteps. And the thing that I've realized that happens to, like, every horn player, you guys can relate, is you try to, like, get past problems and then new problems arise. So you're constantly, like, fighting a problem.
That's interesting. So you're, if you're not careful, it's kind of like you're painting yourself in a corner, depending on how you are breathing, perhaps, or whether your fingering is going to have you end up in where you want to end up. Not having played a wind instrument, I don't know if I'm getting it right, but is that kind of what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the trickiest part, like we were mentioning partials, the partials are all on one fingering. So if I have no fingers down on my keys, I can play a great range of notes in that one fingering. And so it all matters on your lip placement, an embouchure as we call it. And that is a hard part, to get your lips tightened to the right consistency that it hits the right note.
What about the fact that the bell is not facing the audience, but is facing backwards? That, I would imagine, and Daniel, you would know if you play multiple brass instruments, I don't know if the rest of you do, that must require kind of a different approach to blending in with the rest of an orchestra, does it?
So in an orchestra, there's actually a saying, and it's the horns are always behind. because since our bell faces backwards, the sound hits the wall and then goes back into the audience, so it's delayed a little bit. So we have to, like, be in front of the beat.
Were you going to add something, Peter?
Yeah, I was also going to say that just as a general rule, I learned this while I was at CMU pre-college with Professor Marthaler, that we had that the horn is about half as loud as any other brass instrument, just because it's you've got your hand in the bell and the bell is not facing the audience. So you always have to account for that when you're writing for horn, that it's always going to be much quieter than the other brass instruments.
Interesting. And your hand is in the bell. Is it doing anything, or is it there mostly because it's got to be somewhere?
You mostly put it in for pitch, and then also the reason the horn sounds more kind of rounded and less bright, like a more a warmer tone than like the trumpet, for example, is because of the hand. It rounds out the tone.
Oh, that makes total sense. It absorbs some of the sound. Clay?
There is an effect you can do with the horn where you completely, like, stuff your hand in, blocking out most of the sound. It's called stop horn, and it gives sort of a pitchy, weird effect that's, like, half a step up from our normal playing.
Wow, that's amazing. I wanted to ask another question or two just in general, but is there anything else any of you would like to say about Peter's composition or about playing the French horn in general?
Every time he comes out with like a new composition, he always sends it to me and I listen to it, and it's always like it's so different every time, and he just has a talent where he can do so many different types of things. Like, he, it's hard to describe. He can just do every, like, style. And he recently sent me this this Mozart arrangement, a bunch of Mozart tunes, and it was just like a perfect arrangement of it. Everything was there. It was completely balanced, and it's just amazing every time he comes out with a new one.
That's a wonderful praise. Anybody else with anything in general or specifically about the composition or playing French horn?
I think just being able to play Peter's compositions is like a nice break from our standard concert rep, because in standard concert rep, French horn is not always going to be the main attraction or anything. Typically, that's going to be something like the trumpets or clarinets. In Peter's compositions, French horn is always going to be doing something interesting, and he definitely has a fantastic understanding of the instrument and music theory itself. So his compositions are just so full of life. And the fact that they're on French horn means there's always something to do. So myself, being a French horn player and someone who I'd assume would like classical music, I love Peter's compositions, both as a French horn player and a music listener. It's amazing.
I just had a few more questions. Do any of you have a sense of what you would like to do after graduating from high school? I know Daniel, you're the closest. You may already, this being your senior year.
Yeah, I've wanted to pursue a career in music technology. So that is what I envision myself going to college to do after I graduate in 2027.
Anybody else?
I think I would really like to go and study composition, like, professionally, and sort of have that be sort of my profession, is to be a composer. I think that would be really amazing.
That's Peter. And Clay, Charlotte, I know it's kind of early still, but any thoughts?
Oh, yeah, like I said earlier, I think I want to major in horn performance, but my mom won't let me just do that. So I really like math, so I'll do a double major, I think.
Well, you've got performers in your blood, right? You mentioned your grandmother and your dad as well. What about you, Clay?
I think I will major in something in the STEM fields, but I definitely want to keep playing my horn, whether that be a double major or a minor at the school I go to.
I had one more question, and this segment's really flown by. If there are a lot of people who think that the arts in school, music arts, is frivolous, it doesn't need to be there, why should it be there? Especially for students who may be less talented than you are. I would imagine you have a counter argument for that. Do you have a sense of what you would say to somebody that might have that less informed opinion about the importance of music and arts programs in schools?
I feel like the arts open a different kind of thing that, like, maybe a lot of fields like math wouldn't really open. Because with the fine arts, or arts in general, you're opening a lot more to things like creativity and teamwork. Things that are very important life skills to have once you go into, like, a professional career field. I feel like the arts are a huge developer for that sort of thing. That's why I think schools should keep funding the arts. I think the arts are a very core part of any curriculum, and I don't know, whatever anyone can do, support the arts. It's a very important part of any child's curriculum, and it is really one of the best things that anyone can do to better themselves.
Yeah. I also, I heard from somebody that it teaches you to think, just like to not just how to solve a problem or like memorize something like math, but like how to think.
Yeah, you mentioned that before about where you're going to end up and how to think through a piece as you're playing it. Clay, Peter, any thoughts about this?
I just think that without the sort of band program, I think I wouldn't have met a lot of really nice people that I, you know, like a lot, like half of my friends are in band at least. And it's just so nice that the arts can bring us together over something that we love, like music. And also just music is beautiful. There's that too.
Yeah, it's what makes us human.
I feel like when I do have my music classes of the day, it's almost like a break from my other curriculum that I'm taking. It opens a whole new skill set for me. And it's really useful for just balancing my work.
You all had great answers to a question you didn't have a chance to prepare for. Thank you, Clay, Raff, Charlotte, Halton, Daniel, Davies, and composer Peter Atwood. Also, Patrick Forsyth, music director at Pittsburgh Youth Philharmonic Orchestra, was involved in coordinating things for today. Anybody else we should mention that we didn't mention earlier?
I'd specifically like to mention our high school band director, Mr. Brett McCutcheon. He's the one that's been really encouraging us as a group to keep doing what we're doing, and I'm really thankful that he lets us do all the stuff that he does, like perform a ton of original compositions for the horn. Thank you, Mr. McCutcheon.
Thank you for doing that, and thanks to all of you for being here with us.